वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवत फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 19 द अपीयरेंस ऑफ सुखदेव गोस्वामी टेक्स्ट 24 Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important, because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukadeva Goswami also on his arrival. And practically, the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last, 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrives at thereof is that devotional service of Lord Shri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has specially mentioned the word Siddha, but perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods, and some of them are second- and third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reaction. Patashya bhapritchamimam vipriche vishrabhavita iti krishtatayam sarvatmanam riyamanushya krishtam suddham chatatram nishatabhikrishtam. Repeating the translation again. O Trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. So, this is actually the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was told by the Brahmana boy Sringi that you die within 7 days. And when he got to know that, when he became aware of the curse of the Brahmana boy, he decided to prepare himself for death. So that is the sign of a jira, or a wise person. The one who is perfectly situated in his transcendental, in his spiritual identity, he is called jira, who has been situated in perfect intelligence. And perfect intelligence is to recognize oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna, a spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Personality. So, Parikshit Maharaj was a dhira, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Dehi Noshmin Jatha Dehi Tomaram Jovanam Jara Tatha Dehantara Prapti Dhira Sastanamichi. Those who are dhiras, they do not become bewildered by the change of body, because he knows that the body is always changing. Therefore, he is not afraid of death. He does not become bewildered by death. And he is situated, and he can be completely free from the fear of death because he has become situated in real intelligence, where he knows that this body is transient, this body is temporary, but he himself is eternal. So, he being eternal, he is not going to die. The death is only of the body. So, Parikshit Maharaj was a dhira like that. So, when he got to know that he was going to die within 7 days, he did not make any arrangement to counteract the curse and continue to live to counteract the curse of the Brahmana boy and somehow or other protect himself from dying. Actually, if Parikshit Maharaj wanted, then he could have. The first reason why he could have is because Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee of Krishna. So whatever a pure devotee desires, Krishna complies to that desire. Krishna fulfills that desire. So if Parikshit Maharaj desired to die, desired to survive, then the Brahmana's curse would have been shattered into pieces. Probably that curse of the Brahmana would have gone back to the Brahmana. That is actually the danger of cursing a Vaishnava. Because if a person from a lower platform curses someone who is on a higher platform, and if the curse doesn't affect, if the curse does not become fruitful, then the curse goes back to the person who actually cursed. Therefore, while cursing, one has to be very careful. Sometimes I have seen devotees curse and they themselves end up in trouble. I saw one person, he got very angry with someone and he cursed and he broke his arm in prayer. But soon after that, he actually lost his spiritual, and not only that, he became very sick also. Of course, because he was sincere and because he took shelter of the holy name, finally he was saved. Therefore, we must learn a lesson and not to curse like that. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj's position was much better than Sringi's position. Just as Ambarish Maharaj's position was much greater than Durvasa's position. So when Durvasa cursed Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa got into trouble. But because Parikshit Maharaj did not want to defend himself, and Krishna also wanted him to go back to the spiritual side, the arrangement was made in this. Now, what to speak of Parikshit Maharaj himself not making an endeavor, or Parikshit Maharaj himself making an endeavor to survive? There are so many people who could have actually protected Parikshit Maharaj. For example, Kashyapa, who is an expert in counteracting snake poison. He is the original, what's it called, the snake medicine. The snake doctor. The original snake doctor is Kashyapa. So when Kashyapa got the news, he was coming to Parikshit Maharaj. Because he thought, he has been cursed, okay, I'll take care. But by the arrangement of providence, Kashyapa Muni mates with Takshak on the way. Takshak dressed up like a Takshak, had the power to change himself into this other form. He could change his form. So Takshak actually was coming to Parikshit Maharaj's assembly, where Parikshit Maharaj was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, the bank of Yamuna, in the disguise of a Brahman. And so Kashyap also saw that another Brahman is going, so they started walking together. So where are you going? Kashyap asked. And Kashyap said that he was going to the assembly of he's going to the bank of the Ganges, where Parikshit Maharaj is about to give up his body. He is waiting in Pakaya position. So then Takshak immediately asked, why? Why are you going there? So he said, you see, I am a snake doctor. So I heard that Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed. Well, first he said that he was going to meet Parikshit Maharaj. He was going to Parikshit Maharaj. So he asked, why are you going there? He said, I heard that he has been cursed. So I will counteract the curse. So then Takshak says that, but you know, he is not going to be beaten by any ordinary snake. He is going to be beaten by Takshak. Then Takshak says, well, I can counteract any poison. Takshak, Vasuki, Hilapatra, any. All those great, great giants of snakes, I can take care of the poison. Then Takshak, after all, he's a snake, and snakes are very envious. And not only very envious, they're very impatient. They get angry very quickly. So he immediately got very angry, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And he took up the snake form of Takshak. 100 Buddha snakes. Is it 100 or 1,000? No. Ananta has 1,000 heads. Takshak? 100. So he is 100 headed. So he's a giant of a snake. And he just bit a banyan tree that was by the side of the road. And immediately the banyan tree was burnt to ashes. So he said, and you dare to counteract my point? Did you see that? The strength of my poison. Actually, poison is fire. Poison is fire. Poison is liquid fire. Just like alcohol is fire. So actually, poison burns. A thunderbolt is fire. So these are electricity is fire. So fire also can be present in different forms. So poison is fire, and that fire burns. So then Kashyapa, he didn't say anything. He took his water pot, sprinkled some water, did his asana, and then he took some more water, chanted some mantra, and sprinkled the water. And immediately the tree came back to life. So Kashyapa was defeated. But he was very, smart. So he reasoned with him. He said that, look, you could counteract my poison, but I don't think you'll be able to counteract the Brahmana's curse. So here, if you, while I bite Parikshit Maharaj, then that poison, that bite, will be empowered by the curse of the Brahmana, and you don't have the power to counteract. And Kashyapa could understand that Kashyapa was in need of money. He was actually going to Parikshit Maharaj to bring his life, bring back to his, to protect him from the bite of Takshak, and in return get some reward, get some money, get some wealth. So Takshak said, I will give you the wealth. The snakes have access to different jewels. they not only have jewels on their head, but where they live, that region, sun rays do not enter into that region. So that region is lit up with the jewels. There is no electricity, or there is no sun rays, sunlight, in the lower planetary, in Patalaya. Then how those planets are lit up? By the gigantic gem that the snakes carry on their heads. They keep their jewel. A snake may take out his jewel from his head and keep it, and the whole place will become lit up. In my childhood, I used to hear stories from my grandmother like that. There were the snakes, and the prince would go to get something for the princess, and the thing that the princess would want is the gem of the snake from the head of the snake. So he'd go into a deep forest, and then he would find the snake, and he would wait till the snake goes, keeps his jewel somewhere, and goes to some place, and then. Anyway, so these are the unfortunate aspects of Vedic culture. The Puranas are authentic, but grandmother's stories are not authentic. That's their mental concoction. They derived it from their grandmothers or great grandmothers in a disciplic succession, which are produced out of mental speculation. So Kashyapa received the gem, very valuable gem from Kashyapa. And so he said, okay, it's true that the Brahmana's caste is there and will be left. Now ultimately, actually, it was Krishna's desire that Parikshit Maharaj should go back to the spiritual side. Therefore, Krishna did not allow for Kashyapa to come or other influences to take place to protect Parikshit. Therefore there is a saying, when Krishna wants something, it is better to surrender to Krishna. And if Krishna wants, he will give the protection. And if Krishna doesn't want, then no one will be able to save him. Like just the other day, I heard a story. Not a story, it's a fact. One of our friends, who is a reporter, the program we went to day before yesterday, one of the organizers who actually invited us is a reporter, and he was traveling in Punjab, and he was traveling by bus. He went to Punjab on some business or so, and you know the Punjab is a very troubled area now. The militants in Punjab, the militant Sikhs, want their own state. So they are actually, they have become very, very violent. So the bus he was traveling was sabotaged by the Sikh militants. And they just got into the bus and they started to shoot the passengers. Now, when he saw that, he was, as they say, his life there came to his throat out of fear. And he started to offer prayers to Guru Vayur. Lord Guru Vayur is Krishna Narayan, who is worshipped in Kerala. And that deity of Guru Vayur is actually the deity that Krishna himself used to worship. You see, now the question may arise, I mean, why Krishna was worshipping the deity? The answer is to establish dharma. So by his own example, he teaches people. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if I give up karma, if I give up prescribed duties, then no one will be involved in performing this karma. So Krishna, by practicing himself, teaches others. So anyway, that is the deity which is in Kerala. There is a place, the place itself is called Guru Vayur. So he started to offer prayers to Guru Vayur and started to make all kinds of pledges that he will, if he survives, then he will give the, he will make the parikrama of the temple by offering dandavat, and he will do this, he will propagate, he will glorify Guru Vayur's fame all over, you know, and so that's the reason probably why he came and organized this program, or got involved in organizing this program. And this, and then the militants actually came to him about to shoot him. But that person asked, where are you from? So he said he was from South India. And he asked, what do you do? He said, you're the journalist. So he said, okay, you are not our enemy. So go. And he ran. He ran. He's an old man, you have seen. He ran for 4 miles at a stretch, not up. Till he came to some place, you know, where he saw some people. And really collapsed right after that. And he was explaining to us the other day. So in this way, you know, when Krishna wants to protect, no one can fail. Now that reminds me of another incident. Those who are from South Africa, those who are especially from Durban, you all know Jamna Das. Jamna Das, he's a businessman. He runs, at that time he was running a chain of departmental stores. And plus he had other businesses also. I think he also has a diamond mine. So Jamna Das, one night he was alone at home. His family was somewhere else. And some blacks came and held him at gunpoint. And he was alone at home. And he felt that that's the end of his life. And he felt, well, now I'm going to die. So this is the time to think of Krishna. So let me think of Krishna. So he started to think of Krishna. And as he did so, one car drove in to the ER, drive ER. And seeing that, those blacks, they left him and ran away. And he realized it's Krishna who actually saved him. And that's why now he dedicated himself completely to spread Krishna's glory. Also the another thing about Jamna Das was right after that incident, not only him, the whole family got so shaken up that they were actually planning to emigrate to Australia. And everything was arranged. Everything was, you know, the papers were cleared, they were about to leave for Australia. And they just had to take care of the last few bits. He even sold his business practically. And so that time, I went to South Africa. And one evening, I was giving a lecture on a fundraising banquet for phase two. When I went there, I encouraged the devotees to complete the phase two. And so they suggested that, they told me that they don't have money. So I said, okay, let's try to raise money. So we organized this fundraising banquet. And we invited all the important people in Durban area. And the theme of my lecture was that the only solution to world problems is Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world in every town and village. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world in every town and village. And Prabhupada has proven that, and that is going to happen. Now, the next phase of Mahaprabhu's plan, Mahaprabhu's first plan was to send Srila Prabhupada to this planet and send him to the west and then all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness. Now, the next phase is that the Indian, now Mahaprabhu also placed the Indians in different parts of the world. And these Indians have to take up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And so later on he told me that because of that lecture, he changed his mind. He said, why should I run away to Australia like a coward? Let me just stay and help spread Mahaprabhu's mission. And this man came forward and gave us ₹1,000,000. ₹1,000,000 means about $500,000. 15 crores of rupees. No, I'm sorry. 1.5 crores. So in this way we can see that Krishna saves. But it's not that Krishna will always save. Krishna will also make arrangements for someone to die. And we can see that Krishna wanted Parikshit Maharaj to leave this planet. Otherwise Krishna could have saved Parikshit. Such a great devotee and he was a saint. But a devotee doesn't become worried about whether he's going to be protected or whether he's going to be killed. Because he knows that because he's a devotee, whatever happens to him is due to Krishna's desire. Everything happens according to Krishna's desire. But when we are on a material consciousness, then our desire conflicts with Krishna's desire. When we are in a material consciousness, when we are not surrendered to Krishna's desire, then our desire becomes the primary consideration. And that's why Krishna has created the karmic principle. Okay, you desire and you'll fulfill your desires provided you have punya. If you act in a proper way, then your desires will be fulfilled. If you act in an improper way, then your desires won't be fulfilled. An example can be given. A person prepares himself nicely and he gets a good job or he makes a lot of money. But when he has a lot of money, then he can fulfill his desires very easily. He has a desire to buy a car, he writes a check and gets a car. So he wants to buy a building, he buy a new house, he gets it. So this way it becomes very easy to fulfill our material desires when someone has prepared himself properly. Similarly, there is a subtle platform of preparing ourselves. Just as on the gross platform, preparation means acquiring money to fulfill our desires. On a subtle platform, and the wealth is actually punya, pious activity. When we perform pious activities, then we get credit as piety, and by paying those piety, we can fulfill our desires very easily. But even that also is material. Even that also is in conflict with Krishna's desire. So, a devotee simply tunes himself up to Krishna's desire. And then he becomes free from his material. The only way to become free from material bondage is to become tuned up to Krishna's desire. And how do we become tuned up to Krishna's desire? The first thing is to become free from our desire. We should not have any independent desire. I do not want anything for myself. All I want is to please Krishna. And by developing this desire to please Krishna, we become tuned up to Krishna's desire. And in this way, now we become situated on our spiritual consciousness. It's not that to become situated on the spiritual consciousness means one becomes a superman. But on the other hand, to become situated on the spiritual platform, we have to become a very, very common man. That is, we have to become very, very simple, very, very humble, so much so that we can become tuned up to Krishna's desire. Srinadopi sunichena parodopi shodhishena. So, Parikshit Maharaj displayed that mood. He did not struggle to survive. Although in the material platform, everyone is struggling to survive. Every moment, it's a struggle to survive. Breathing is a big endeavor. Why are we making this big endeavor to survive? Digesting our food is a big endeavor. Then what to speak of constantly struggling to protect ourselves from all kinds of external forces that are trying to kill us. The material nature is constantly trying to kill us. That is, the material nature is constantly trying to make this body into matter. Now this body has become spiritualized due to the presence of the spirit soul. But the material nature is constantly endeavoring to make this body into inert matter. And that's why the spirit has to constantly struggle to keep this body conscious. The body's tendency is to become inert, to become dead. But the spirit soul's tendency is to keep this body alive. And that's why to be alive is a constant struggle. But a devotee gives up that struggle. Now whatever he does joyfully for the sake of Krishna. And someday if Krishna says, okay, now quit your body. The devotee says, oh, this is the time. This is the time when the gate to the spiritual sky is opening up for me. And now let me remember Krishna and go back to him. Actually, death for a devotee is an opportunity to go back to the spiritual. A devotee waits for that time. Devotee prepares himself for that time. When the time will come, when I'm going to be released from the bondage of this gross body. We ourselves cannot become free from the bondage of the gross body. Because that's it. That's entirely up to the material nature. It's a gift of the material nature, and it's entirely up to the material nature. When she will free us from the bondage of this gross body. The bondage of the subtle body we can free ourselves. By manmana bhava, by thinking of Krishna always, we can become free from the bondage of mind. By esam shatata yuktanam bhajatam kriti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam, by developing this buddhi yoga, we can become free from the bondage of intelligence. And in this way, when you become a devotee of Krishna, when you recognize ourselves as a servant of Krishna, then we also become free from the bondage of false ego. So in this way, we can become free from the bondage of the subtle body by means of our own endeavor. But the bondage, freedom from the bondage of gross body is entirely up to material nature. material nature provided us with this body. For what? Why material nature has provided us with this body? For two reasons. One negative, one positive. The negative reason is to fulfill our desire. But then material nature actually has given us this body to engage this body into Krishna's service and thus rectify our poverty consciousness. Therefore, this body, we do not have the right to destroy this body. We simply have the right to use this body. Similarly, the subtle body also, we cannot destroy. We can simply use. And by using, we actually become, by proper application of these bodies, gross and subtle, we become free from the bondage. So finally, material nature releases us from this bondage of gross body. And that is the time of death. And what a wonderful time that is. We do not have to worry about breathing. We do not have to worry about eating. Because this body has so many demands. As long as the body is alive, the body has so many needs to be fulfilled. The body needs food, body needs air, body needs water, body needs shelter, and what to speak of the demands of the senses. So all kinds of demands the body has. And we can't deny those demands. And as a devotee, we do not do that either. We do not deny. On the other hand, we indulge in the right way, in a positive way. That is, by engaging this body into Krishna's service. Yes, body needs food. What should we do with this? What should we do about feeding the body? Okay, Krishna Prasad. Let Krishna Prasad be the food for the body. The body needs to be active, but the senses needs engagement. So how they should be engaged? Let them be engaged in Krishna's service. So in this way, this body can be engaged in Krishna's service, and when you do that, and when our consciousness becomes purified, and then a time comes when we leave this body. And that is the time when you become free from all the bondage that the body is causing, all the demands that the body has. After you leave the body, then you don't have to depend upon this air to breathe, water to drink, and food to eat. Then we get a chance to go back to the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, we enjoy eternally with Krishna. So that is what Parikshit Maharaj is asking the sages. Hearing that Parikshit Maharaj is going to die, the sages assemble there and they ask questions to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj asked the sages the question that now that I'm going to die, please tell me what is the duty of a person. And he is pointing out that there are two types of duty. One is what a man should do always. And then especially what should he do at the time of death, when his death is imminent, what should he do? And those questions have been answered by Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the answer is, in short, that the dharma has two aspects, Nainitik dharma and Nitya dharma. Nainitik dharma is temporary, the dharma of this body. Since the body is temporary, Nainitik dharma also is temporary. But beyond this body, we have our spirit soul. And the spirit soul is eternal. And spirit soul's dharma also is eternal. And what is the dharma of the spirit soul? To become engaged in loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any comment or question?
Why is
Yeah. Prabhupada often mentioned that Krishna's pastime and the pastimes of devotees have two effects. He performs in a certain way that the devotees become more attracted towards him, and the demons become convinced that Krishna is not God and his devotees are not so great. So that is one answer to that. Like, what to speak of Parikshit Maharaj living like that? Even Krishna himself, Jada Vyadha, the shooter, just an ordinary hunter. He shoot an arrow, and that also didn't pierce Krishna's heart, Krishna's soul, and Krishna left the planet. Right? Krishna died. Now, how will a devotee see? A devotee who is situated in proper understanding, he will know that this is Krishna's pastime. And Janma Karma Chame Digvam. Krishna's appearance and disappearance both are divine. Like Krishna, who lifted Govardhan when he was 7 years old, when he killed Putana when he was 3 days old, when he killed demons after death, great demons, like those who were, they were so powerful that even demigods used to tremble with fear just hearing their names. And so Krishna killed them very easily. He's practically barehanded. And that Krishna, being hit by the arrow of an ordinary hunter, could die. And what to speak of, even if we don't consider Krishna's such extraordinary pastimes of killing the demons, even if we consider Krishna's rather ordinary pastimes, like the battle of Kurukshetra where he was a chariot driver. When he was actually driving Arjuna's chariot, Krishna's whole body was pierced with arrows. There is a deity, Parthasarathi temple in South India, in Madras. That deity is actually the deity of Krishna right after the battle of Kurukshetra. And the whole face of Krishna is pricked. You know why? Because these are the arrows in Krishna's body. Now, a person who could tolerate, hundreds and hundreds of arrows piercing his body, that's a kshatriya. A kshatriya, at the end of the day, his whole body would be torn into pieces with arrows and, sort of chopped by swords and, but the next morning he's ready again for a fight, and he would start off with a new vigor, rejuvenated completely. So that is the spirit of a kshatriya, and Krishna is a kshatriya. So he just died being shot by an arrow. Now the devotees' love for Krishna will increase. Devotees will think that how wonderful Krishna is when he hears about this pastime. But the demons, I told you Krishna is an ordinary, Krishna is nothing but an ordinary man. See? He died. And that was the one, hunter just killed him. So similarly, Parikshit Maharaj and Jadus also. And another thing is, Krishna also pointed out the very dangerous effect of the age of Kali. The age of Kali is so powerful that Kali could actually eliminate Parikshit Maharaj. So if Kali can eliminate Parikshit Maharaj, what to speak about us? So better be careful. And only medicine, only remedy for the protection from Kali is, only remedy for Kali's influence is shelter of Krishna's love. Also another point is that this also shows that how brave devotees are. Actually Parikshit Maharaj's glory is multiplied 1,000 times. Can you imagine how glorious is Parikshit Maharaj's death as he
you know, as soon as he heard the curse, he split everything, he quit everything, went to the bank of the Ganges, preparing himself. Otherwise, Shukdev Goswami couldn't, you know, speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we wouldn't get Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, and if you can imagine, if Parikshit Maharaj died in death, like a grand old man, you know, that wouldn't have been so great. But the great is the young king, the ruler of the whole earth planet, you know, didn't give a damn about death. Okay, I'll keep that fine. So if someday we get to know that we are going to die in 7 days, right, we should know what we should do. We should take a plane, come to Vrindavan and Mayapur, and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Anuradha?